Good celebrating Father's Day with each of you this morning, and got to have a time with my dad this morning, breakfast with Mom and Dad, and they let me stay overnight in their home, so that was great. And I do miss my children, get to see them later on today. And my son, who's the oldest one, sent me an email Father's Day card, and that was pretty creative. Never got one of those before. But he's getting on a computer and getting into all that. And I wanted to share a clean Father's Day story, if I could. Two fathers who were veteran fathers, been fathers for quite a while, were trying to encourage a father-to-be. And so one father said, you know, God works in mysterious ways. We had twins, and right before we had twins, my wife was home reading the book, Tale of Two Cities. The other one said, boy, that's really strange. We had triplets, and at the time my wife was reading the book Three Musketeers. And the father-to-be got a fearful look on his face, started to run out the door. They said, where are you going? He said, oh no, when I left the house, my wife was reading Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. So that would be rough. One of my favorite Christian counselors is Larry Crabb. He made the statement one time that stuck with me, and I think ended up in the book, Purpose Driven Life. He said, life is all about relationships. And wouldn't you know it, that guys aren't real good at relationships. So we really have to turn to the Lord on Father's Day and every other day to try to do what God asks us to do. Relationships are real important to the Lord. Think of the commandments He gave. Love Him, love people, love your neighbor. And so a great promise He gives us in terms of if we feel like there's a lack in relationship in our life or we're trying to get family life all together, He gives everybody a good promise in Psalm 68 where it says that God sets the lonely in families. Take that promise for yourself, whether you have a big family. My dad came from a family of 8 children. They had a good old time. He was the youngest. Or not many in your family. Or maybe you live by yourself and your family are the people around you, maybe in this room. Families are important to the Lord and He has a plan for them. And if you feel a loneliness in your soul, even if you live with a lot of folks, God would like to let you know that He put you in families to be healthy. And so God knows our need. He knows we need help in that area. And there's all kinds of families in the Bible that God works with. And we should know He'll work with ours wherever we're at. Jesus, for example, was single. So His family life was very unique. From what I hear, there's a movie coming out, The Da Vinci Code, that takes off on the book, The Da Vinci Code, which basically says a lot of stories about Jesus that just aren't true. So it's going to get out in movie form. And you and I should say, hey, we're not going to that movie. That's talking about our Lord in a way that's out of bounds, you know. But the Lord was a single person, and He said this one time, He said, those who follow God's word are my sisters and brothers and mother. And so sometimes as a Christian, the people around us are going to be our family. God sets us in those relationships to give us strength, and so we could strengthen them. So you're a part of a family today, whether it's your home life, which is real important, or the church life, which is very important to the Lord also. And when I think of families, I think of an old TV show that I used to watch, Leave It to Beaver. That's still on TV. One of my sons watches that, and I'm so glad he does. I think there's a lot of good lessons on how to get along with your brother and solve conflicts and all that. But Leave It to Beaver, the family members were, I couldn't remember them in the first service, Ward, husband, June, the wife, Wally, and Theodore. I didn't know if anybody would know his real first name, the Beaver, Theodore. And in the United States today, according to the 2000 census, not a lot of families look like Leave It to Beaver, where you had mom and dad and the children still at home. According to the census, only about 25% of family life still is like that. Nowadays, you have more situations because of probably the baby boomer time, empty nest time, or families just couldn't make it, ending in divorce, a real hurt there and brokenness, or widow, or single, or people just getting together, you know, not committed, but just kind of trying life out together, and that doesn't work. But most life doesn't look like Leave It to Beaver anymore. Norwood Alliance Church, I was checking out the church picture directory, and probably less than half, at least the photos, look like Wally and Theodore, and a good bunch. And God's working with those relationships. So as we look at what God says about fathers, wives, children, try to apply these principles to any relationship you're in. Home life, but again, maybe on the job, the friendships you have, church life that you're the Lord puts you in. Make the truth to all of those relationships, if you would. So we're not just picking on the dads here this morning, but taking something for each one of us. Well, God's Word in Colossians gives us four directions for healthy family relationships. And they are put in the context of putting our lives before God as a gift or as an offering, since He gives us the gift first. God's Word says this right before He talks to wives and husbands. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So your relationships and all the way you treat people right where you live is to be a thanks to God for what He did for us. So that puts a lot of motivation behind how we treat others, and that's very important to the Lord. Well, the first direction is this: wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. And He speaks to the husbands next. And the husband and wife relationship is to be a reflection of Christ's relationship with people. I often tell married couples that they should see themselves, or folks about to be married, as a part of a strong triangle. That at the bottom of the triangle is the husband and the wife. And the top of the triangle, they're going to put something that's real, real important to them in their hearts. Some people mistakenly put themselves at the top of the triangle. They kind of cave in on each other. Some put the children at the top of the triangle. Children are a great gift, but ultimately we give them back to the Lord. They belong to Him. We just train them up to get them in that direction. But the Lord, because He created us and created marriage, He's at the top of the triangle. And as we move closer to Christ, we are to be moving closer to one another in our heart commitment. And so in the context of that loving relationship, husband and wife, Christ at the head of the home, Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, as it is fitting in Him. I thought, why does the Lord give the gal all the hard things, you know? Submit, have children, dishes, all those things, guys. We don't know too many good things about. But don't let the word submit scare you off. You notice the Bible doesn't say, wives, be bossed around by your husbands. Doesn't say that. Wives, be abused by your husband, verbally, physically. That's not what the word submit means. We shouldn't let those who misuse God's word take away God's good word for us. Submit means to yield or to be arranged under for a good purpose. Coming to church today, I anticipated on Barnes Hill Lake Road submitting that four-way stop sign to whatever other cars were going to be coming. It was very pleasant. You go first, and then I'll go. I had no problems with that. If we both fought for that position, we're going to have a crash in a yielding manner. Yielding is a pleasant thing. Many of you on the job are in middle management positions, I'm sure, where you yield to whatever is going on around you. A pastor, in many ways, even a senior pastor position, is a middle management position. Superintendent, church membership, and board. You feel good about making decisions while yielding to one another. And so God gives encouragement to wives. Do that as unto the Lord. You'll find freedom in that. And a good example of that in the Scripture is the marriage between Esther and a rough customer, Xerxes. Go home today and read the book of Esther and read it as a romance novel. Pretty rough romance novel. A lot of action. A lot of tough-hearted relationship. A lot of people getting killed around the family of Xerxes and Esther. Well, Xerxes is kind of a crabby fellow of the house. Some of you gals can relate to him in there. And he was a dictator, both in the kingdom and in the household. Xerxes had to have his way. Esther becomes his wife. Okay, and she has a heart toward the Lord. He don't pay much attention to the Lord. And a rough thing happens where the Jewish people have to be saved from disaster. And so what does Esther do in her relationship with Xerxes? She has to kind of gently win him over to help save the Jewish people. And she doesn't do it by saying, "Hey, Xerxes, obviously I'm the spiritual one in the family here. You'd be a smart man if you followed my direction. I know much more of the Scripture than you, and just do what I tell you and everything will be fine." She doesn't do that. She goes to Xerxes. You know, and she, a number of times in the Scripture it says, she comes to him and, if it would please you, or maybe in our way of saying it, "Hey, do you think this would be good, Xerxes, if we didn't kill these Jewish people? Because I'm Jewish." And so she gently yields to him, and he, like a good man, says, "Hey, honey, thanks. Thanks for asking me." And he's won over, you know, by her heart. He starts paying attention to God's plan for life. And so, wives, a way to honor the fellows in your life, yield to them just by respect. You know, doesn't mean they're for sure not smarter than you. And they, like I say, we don't handle relationships very well, us Xerxes fellows. So you got to help us. You got to help us by yielding. And wives, if you do this, there's a secret as a way of showing respect, whether you're married or just relating to guys in your life. If you show respect and yield a little bit to the guys in your life, just a little bit, you know, submit. Guys appreciate that and appreciate respect much more than if you say, "I like you," or "I love you, honey." Oh, that's good. But it's the respect factor that men really appreciate. That's why even when men deal with each other, if there's a sense of lack of respect there, well, men just get all bent out of shape about it. In home life, if they sense no respect from a partner or children, they just pretty much blow off the relationship and walk away from it. That's very unhealthy. So, gals, help us do well by, as it is fitting in the Lord, in a pleasant manner, yield. And we have our part, too. I talked to a family one time who consisted of a husband and wife and two gals, and I made a comment, "How's home life for you? Boy, I bet there's a lot of good conversation and action going on." And the man said, "Yeah." He said, "I spend a lot of time in the garage." That's why they made garages, you know, for cars, for guys to escape when they don't know how to relate well in family life. Wives, you help the men and honor them by yielding. And the second directive God gives us from His Word is this: husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Wow, what a noble calling for all the fathers and all the men here. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. No harshness in the man toward those he loves. If you have a harshness in your words or any other way, you should ask the Lord for help with that. "Lord, help me not to be abusive in any manner by how I treat my dearest loved ones." The Lord can help us with that. If we have a problem with that individually as a guy, because we thought, "Oh, the way I solve problems with my brothers, we just fought it out. The way we have solved problems with my partner, my wife, or with my children, we'll just, you know, get real physical or verbal. That's out of bounds. It's not God's way. Lord, help us to repent. Lord, help us get accountable to others about that, to our wife about that, so that she feels safe and loved like Jesus loves us. And men, we're called to love our wife like Christ loves us. A great example. He's in there for us 100%. How does Christ love us? He's kind-hearted. So we're kind in the home. He's a great listener. I listen to my wife while I'm checking out the newspaper. She'll be talking to me while I'm watching TV, and I don't even hear her. So when she comes into the room now, when I know I'm walking with the Lord, I'll put the mute on, or I'll shut it off. Oh, you're here. You're more important than, you know. Is she not more important than what is going on? One fellow who I admired says, when I'm driving in a car with my wife, I don't play the radio. Because if I do, I'll just listen to the radio and we won't communicate at all. Just little things to show, hey, I'm with you now, dear. Now, Christ came not to be served, but to serve. So guys have an attitude of serving towards their wives and others around them. And so we ask, how do our decisions affect my wife? That's important. It's not just what I want to do. It's the weekend, I'm going to the ball game, or I'm going fishing and golfing, and she can go do whatever. Or would you like to come? Would you like to do something fun your own self? I remember one way I tried to show my wife Regina in our courting days that I was really head over heels about her, that it was a weekend and there were some ball games in town, and so I said, you know, it's the weekend, would you like to go to a ball game? Like, she'd be really, real interested. And she said, no. She said, you know, there's a cat show in town. I didn't know there were such events. And she said, I'd really like to go to this cat show. So we were either going to go our separate ways, or I was going to show my heart's affection and commitment to her. And early off, I did the right thing. Went to the cat show and enjoyed her, enjoying herself. I almost enjoyed cats eventually. And sometimes when I get selfish nowadays and realize I've been not a good husband, and it's the weekend, and I'll say, what would you like to do this weekend? I'd really like to do something you would like to do. Any cat shows in town or anything? She knows I'm trying to repent if I bring that up. Love your wife. Put her concerns first. Is that a noble thing to do? Guys, would you like to be noble and courageous and unselfish? Guys, would you like honor? Talked about that respect thing. Don't you like honor? If you like honor, do the honorable thing. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. And someone reminds us that no success on the job will make up for failing to love your wife at home. Things can be going real well at work. If they're not going well at home, better to have a crummy job than a crummy marriage. And the Lord could help us, each one of us, where we're at. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Because someday, and this is a prayer for intervention in our lives, and just say, oh Lord, please work in me so I can show Christ to my family. Someday, fathers, your daughter is going to marry somebody who will basically treat her like you've treated your wife. Because that's what she sees, you know, for 17, 18 years. She sees how it's supposed to work. So she'll marry somebody, guys, who will treat her the way you treat your wife. Or if you have sons, they'll treat their future wives like you're treating your present wife. And that's why you pray for God's intervention in your heart. Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be, close to you, so I can be a good father, good husband. And then you'll be so happy when your daughter marries somebody just like you. You know. Or just like you in process. Just like you and the Lord. But the Lord works in our lives like this. And then to the children, the obedience call. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And if young children or any time you're called to obedience in any kind of relationship where you have a boss, your obedience to them really is a training ground to obey God. So children, as rough as it is, obey your parents, because that's the way that you learn to obey God, by obeying your parents. And teenagers, as rough as it is, you say, my parents don't understand me. They don't look at the world like I do. I can't bring myself to obeying them. Obey your parents. Because a lot of times in our relationship with God, we think he don't understand us. And guess what? He don't look at the world like we do. We're thankful about that. Children, obey your parents. That's the way you get trained to obey the Lord. My parents didn't drag me off to church a lot, but I'm so thankful I learned to obey. They were kind, but I knew the boundaries. And I knew that as soon as I stepped out of bounds, they were consistent. And I hope I can be half the parents my parents were. And then to the fathers, this is Father's Day, don't embitter your children or they will become discouraged. I guess people who go to prison say that those who have a tough time and end up in prison for some reason, 95% of them, dad was not around. Either physically or he just wasn't there. And that's not an excuse for doing wrong. That just feeds into what to have a fighting attitude. An attitude that says, hey, life must stink because dad wasn't here. So the Lord, he must not be any good either. So I'll just go out and do wrong things. Don't embitter your children by not being there. They count on your presence and your word. Your presence and your word. And to be there for them. For small children, I learned as still a rookie father, when my children are small, they don't need another toy. They need my directions and being around them. If I'd gotten them other toys, they'd play for 5 minutes, toss it aside. But with me, I'm in it for the long run. With them. Or if you have teenagers. If I give them $10 in the car keys, that'll keep them happy for the weekend. They just don't need a handout. They need your heart for them on their behalf. And they need your open door and your listening. And they want to see you take some spiritual initiative because they know God's important. Most young people realize that. And most young people are honest enough to say, hey, I know mom and dad aren't the perfect models of who Jesus is. That's okay. But if they have a confidence your heart is toward Christ, they'll be forgiving and patient to you. I went to the house of a Christian couple one time early in ministry. Their name were Jerry and Barb. Dear people, both are with the Lord now. Barb went to church all the time. Sunday school, committee meetings, everything. Jerry would hardly go to church. So I'm going to go have supper with him. I want to get to know Jerry well. I'm thinking I'm going to be ready to say grace. Maybe Jerry not used to praying, you know. Well, we get to the table to pray, and Jerry pulls out a book obviously he had been using before, reads the scripture before the meal, just as sincerely with an open heart, reads the prayer, real short, simple prayer, asking God to bless the food, and then we eat. You know, that made a big impact on me. There was Jerry, the best he knew how, trying to point a family situation to Christ. And guys, maybe that's where you're at. You know, you take the lead, and God will honor that. And it'll make an impact in people's lives. And guys, you can model repentance and forgiveness too. When you blow it with your children or your wife, you can say to them, just without making a big deal about it, you know, I was wrong in that situation and I'm sorry and I ask for your forgiveness. If you do that, then your children, what they'll do, they'll turn to the Lord like that often. But if they never hear mom or dad say they were wrong and they're sorry, they're going to think, I guess being a Christian means you never tell God you're wrong or you're sorry about anything. So model that repenting heart because it means a lot to them. You're training them to be close to Christ. Don't embitter your children, but raise them to be close to Christ. And one final example from the secular world, a fellow by the name of Cal Ripken. He's a professional baseball player, and he holds the record for the most baseball games played in a row. It used to be held by Lou Gehrig. Well, he played about 2,300 baseball games in a row. That's pretty incredible. Going to work for 11 or 12 years, never miss a day of work or a day of school. And he has a 5-year-old son, I believe. And he says he's a pretty tough guy, committed to his job, you know, 100%. Concerned about family life, but he said, he tells his son something every day. He says, son, just remember, I love you all the time, no matter what. He's verbalizing that to his child, just the open-heartedness. You know, just think about how the child is growing up with a sense of confidence. Hey, things might go wrong. I know Dad loves me. Friends may come and go. Dad's there for me. I might even drive mom crazy. She's not talking to me now, but Dad's there for me. And just a reminder of how the Lord treats us. He's given us the message through His Son. I love you every day no matter what. Whatever your home life looks like, hey, I'll start right where you're at. To love you and draw you to myself and bring health to your heart. Christ can do that for us. He loves us every day. He wants us to know that. And one of the blessings we have as parents to pray for our children and love them is that we get to enjoy them now and then in the future anticipate being in heaven with them. And you might be in a family where some are close to Christ and know Christ and are going to heaven and some are not. And there's an ache in your soul about that. I know it's the Lord's will for every person, the Bible says, to come to Christ and receive Him. But this is what motivates me to be so thankful as a dad. When we go to sleep and have the devotions with children, real short, I won't give them one of these long sermons, pray, and if I pray with David and Sean, separate, I usually tell them this, thank you, Lord, we pray together, that we're all going to heaven because of Jesus. Just to give them that sense of they have a future. They have a future with mom and dad and their brother. They have a future with Christ. And I think both for a child and at least for me as a parent, I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. And of course, you wish that for your loved ones too. And if you're here, you might be here, and you really love your family, but you're thinking, can I get Jesus in on what I'm up to as a parent? And He certainly will help you. Wouldn't you want to be with your family forever in heaven, as opposed to uncertain future or separated from them? You're going your way because you never understood this church stuff. Instead of saying, Christ, your life itself. I'll give my heart to you to be a simple Christian father. How much we need that in today's world. And if you're here today and don't know Christ, just give your heart to Him. Say, Lord, make me the kind of father, man, husband you want me to be. And work in my life to bless others and be a blessing. And could you consecrate your relationships, your family relationships in particular, to the Lord with me? As we bow and pray and just
let God lead our prayer time. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we know that family life's important to you because when you wanted to relate to us, you revealed yourself as our Father in heaven. Whether our fathers here were around or not real good to us, you'll take us up, the Bible says. And then you adopt us as your children. So family life must be pretty important to you. And then you put us here together in whatever relationship we find ourselves in, home or in church. And you want to be head of that. I pray, Father, we'd have homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught His love and favor, and we can give our lives to Christ, the crucified. Lord, it's great to know that, as a hymn says, though our footsteps waver, our faithful Lord is walking by our side. Pray, Lord, today would be a day of reconciliation to you that would put family life back to you, memories back to you. They can be brought back to Jesus through the peace of the cross. I pray for anybody here today, Father, who just would say, well, I need God to be my Father, Lord. As they would cry out to you, you would come, dear Jesus, into their lives and be Lord and Savior. And make them the man or woman or child you want them to be. Thank you for what you'll accomplished throughout this week and these dear people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going to sing together a song that really asks us to put our hearts in order and be close to Christ, follow His lead, take time to be holy. If you have a prayer need today, as we sing the song, you could come forward and kneel in the front here at the altar of prayer, and someone will come and pray with you. Just say, Lord, I need help with all my relationships. Or Lord, I need help with my number one relationship. That's with you. And God will come. So it's a safe place to pray. And God will meet you as you have a need. But let's stand together and sing. Take time to be holy.